no curse comes upon us undeserved, Proverbs 26:2. So I said, Lord, will you show me what I've done wrong that brought all these things upon me in the last 2 weeks? And then I thought a minute, and I said, Lord, I said, okay, God, forget it. Elton said, what do you mean? I said, I don't have a notepad and a pen. I said, I'm sure the list would be so long that I couldn't even begin to remember all of it. You ever thought about that? You know, when we think about the holiness of God, and then you think about you and your unholiness, and you know that who knows your heart? Only God does. And so I may think that I'm trying to do everything right, and of course, in Eldon's eyes, he thought I passed every test. I didn't get mad. I didn't scream at nobody. I didn't curse or use any foul words or nothing, did I, Eldon? None of those things. And I praised the Lord through all those things, even that right at the last. That's when he said, you know, Thurman, I believe you've been put to the test in the last 2 weeks. And said, I believe you passed every test. Do you think God would really test us like that? Oh, yeah, he will. Guarantee he will. He says, consider it pure joy in all these various trials and tests I bring upon you. Because what I'm doing is I'm building your faith, which is more precious to me than gold. So now how easy is when you have a test? Is it easy to just, when something all goes wrong all day long, at the end of the day, come home and grab your wife and hug her and love her and say, praise the Lord, honey, I had an awesome day today. Everything I did went wrong today. When's the last time you done that, Tom? Here's what we do as men. We come home and your wife said, hi, honey, how are you doing dinner? He said, shut up, woman, don't talk to me. How everything I've done today went wrong. Now, have any of us ever done that? You know, I mean, do we do things wrong? Do we take it out on our mate? Do we? Sure. Don't tell me you ain't never had a disagreement with your mate, because if you do, that's lying. Everybody has problems, but you have to do it the right way. The Lord says there's a time, then he says there's a time to be quiet and a time to speak up. And sometimes we pass that test and sometimes we don't. Then he said there's a time to love and a time to hate. I'll never forget the day that I had used the word hate two or three times. Dave's little son, which is about five, Daddy has been giving him some very good instructions. And so he comes to me and he says, Pastor T, he said, my daddy tells me we shouldn't use that word hate. I said, well, son, there is only one thing God says I can hate. He said, I know, and I know what it is. I said, what is it? He said, it's sin. Now, for a five-year-old, I was impressed. You know where I'm coming from? Because you know what? Most five-year-olds, you ask them what sin is, and they don't even know. They ain't never heard the word. They've heard the word hate a lot, but they don't know what sin is. But for a five-year-old, little John, to say, Pastor T, my daddy says we're not supposed to use the word hate. And I said, well, John, there's only one thing God says I can hate. He said, I know, and that's sin. You're not to sin. Is that true? Now, that's what we're supposed to hate. We can hate sin all the time, but there's a time to love. Now, technically speaking, under the new covenant, are we commanded to love at all times? Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. Walk in love with each other all the time. And we're a time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And I'm grateful that this beautiful country that we live in, that we have experienced the peace that we have in my lifetime. But we're getting to the point where there's not so much peace. Of course, I realize there's been wars and rumors of wars and all kinds. But, you know, have you noticed that, you know, they're talking about war in the Middle East any day? I heard on Christian television week before last, I guess it was, John Hagee was on there. He's a very outspoken pastor. And he said that, you know, this next Saturday, which was last Saturday, he said that Israel has a decision to make. The Russians are sending Iran the nuclear rods to go in their reactor. When they put them in there, it takes 3 weeks for them to get up to steam, and then after that, the whole Middle East is radioactive. Now, if you destroy that thing or bomb it or anything, You're going to have radiation just like Chernobyl was. And do you know that that whole area over there in Russia that underwent that, you still can't go there? You know, you can die. It looks like it's a normal place. I mean, except for nearly everything being dead. But if you walk through those areas there, you can come down with radioactivity poison and it'll kill you. You know, and you can't see it. It's invisible. But it's there. And that's the same thing that's going to happen in the Middle East. And he said, we have a really serious thing to do about war right now. He said, if Israel makes a decision between that day he was on television and the next Saturday to bomb that nuclear reactor, he said, if they do that, it's going to be devastating. And Marcus asked him, why? And he said, because Iran has hundreds of long-range missiles aimed at Europe. They have hundreds aimed at Saudi Arabia, and they have hundreds aimed at Israel. And the minute Israel attacks, they're going to detonate all of them, they're going to fire them all at the same time. So he said there's going to be, Europe will be hit with many, many high-powered explosives. They're not nuclear, because they don't have nuclear yet, but they're just high-powered explosives. But it could kill tens of thousands of people. And in Saudi Arabia, the oil fields, they have them aimed at the oil fields all over Saudi Arabia to knock out the oil fields. And then, of course, to knock out as much of Israel as they possibly can, because Abinadab hates Israel and he wants them annihilated. He said, now, if they do that, I can assure you that next week gasoline will be not $2.50 a gallon at the pump, but $5 to $10 a gallon at the pump. If they knock out the Saudi Arabia oil fields. Now, you know, I go to Europe once in a while. We're going again here in just a couple of weeks, three or four weeks, to Norway. What blows me away, gasoline all over Europe is already $10 a gallon. It's been that way for a long time. So you pull in to fill up a car, and you know when it says what it costs per liter what it costs per gallon over here. You know, so $2.50 a liter. A liter, almost four liters to a gallon, almost. And how would you like to go in and fill up your Suburban? We got a Suburban that holds nearly 30 gallons of fuel, or pull in one of our big, four-wheel drive trucks that's got a 30 or 40-gallon gas tank on it, and it's $10 a gallon. How would you like to pay $300 or $400 to fill up your car? What if you got just one of them little bitty ones that only holds 12, and it costs you $100 to fill it up every time you go in there? $100. But John Hagee said, if they do attack, it's going to be devastating. And that is what I call devastating. But he said, if they don't attack, then there's no two ways about it. Iran has said they're going to build nuclear weapons with those reactors. And then as soon as they get nuclear weapons, they're going to put nuclear warheads on those missiles. And then when they fire them to where they're going to fire them, he said, then it's going to be more devastating because they're going to annihilate a big portion of the world. But their goal is to totally annihilate Israel. So when Cheryl asked me, what do you think they're going to do? I said, they're not going to bomb it. She said, you don't think they will? I said, they've got to. I said, no. It sounds like they got to. But I think God's going to move in their heart to tell them not to bomb Iran. She said, why? I said, because when they get nuclear weapons, and they fire the nuclear weapons, now there is only one that can help them. And who is that? God. And they're going to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, when those nuclear weapons are fired at Israel, when God annihilates all the enemies around Israel and don't hurt Israel at all, and then he takes away all of the nuclear fallout, but yet every one of the nations, and of course it's written in the Scripture, that right now all the people that are around Israel hates Israel. And there is a time for war, and that time is almost here. And when they do try to annihilate Israel, those weapons are going to either go over Israel and go across to the other Arab nations or whatever, but Israel is not going to be knocked out. They're not going to be annihilated, but those countries around her that hate her are going to be. God said in his word, he will not leave a single one of them alive. And then Israel's going to be at peace for a while. The scripture says that Israel is living in unwalled villages, and they're at peace, and they have great wealth. Well, they've just found oil in Israel, you know, and they're going to become supposedly a wealthy nation. They've been trying to find this oil. They have found it now, and oil wells are being drilled, and oil's coming in Israel, and so it's going to be a very productive nation. Right now, Israel has nothing except gardening, you know, farming, you know, and they don't have anything that brings in millions of dollars. The tourism this year was the best it's ever been in Israel. More people went to Israel than has ever been there in a year. So the tourism was really good this year. But they're going to have all this oil, and it says in the scriptures, here they are living at peace, and then all of a sudden, Gog and Magog, Russia and Iran, Persia, they see these Israeli people down there living in peace with all this great wealth. And they say, let's go down there and plunder her and take away her wealth. So they're not going down there because they hate them. They're going down there because they want the wealth they have. And so when they go down, it says, God says, even though out of the other one, they're still not serving me. So I will put a hook in the jaw of Gog and Magog, and I'm going to bring them down to Israel to attack my nation Israel. Who's bringing Russia against Israel? God. That's what it says in the Word. And he's doing it because he wants them to worship him and praise him. And this time for peace and a time for war, he's bringing these people down there, and they're going to attack Israel. And it says whenever a big portion of the people have been destroyed, the women have been ravished, and the children have been hauled off, God says, my anger will flare. Ooh, do you want to be around when God's anger flares? Because you know what he says in the next line? He says, when my anger flares, although he's the one done this, he's the one that brought these foreigners down here to do what they're doing, he says, my anger flares, and now I will kill 5 out of every 6 soldiers that put his foot on Israeli soil. 1 out of 6 is going to be left alive. And he said, and this is the plague.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, There is a Time for Everything, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.